fourth and final hour. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI, joining us on the Harbor One Hotline. NFL Hall of Famer and NFL Network analyst Michael Irvin. Michael is brought to you by the Department of Veterans Affairs and by Zuti. Build any apps your company needs in a week. Visit Zuti.com for details. Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great, guys. I think we have a great week of football coming up. Well, wait. I've had some great NBA, you know, Saturday night, and some college football. I got Florida State, Miami. And Saturday night, I got Florida State, Miami. Saturday night, I also got that big UFC fight. That's that Alessandra and Costa fight. That's going to be off the hook. And then Sunday, we got NFL, and Monday night, we got NFL. We got a great week going, buddy.
Well, you've already had a hell of a week. Congratulations on the arrival of Brooklyn, Ania Mapp, your second grandchild this week. I'm very happy for you.
Yeah, isn't that a blessing, man? She's so beautiful, so incredible. And you know, it was when my daughter, because of this COVID thing, she could only have one person, you know, at the hospital at a time, because, you know, having the baby and everything, because they're watching everybody come in the hospital. But so we were not able to be there. But, yeah, we got her home now. She's healthy. And thank you, Bob. Thank you for that, because that's my world. I'm revamping my whole backyard for my grandkids. And me and my wife can sit out there with some lemonade. Of course, I'm going to sneak some vodka in my lemonade.
Yeah, there
I'll
we
sneak
go.
Some vodka in mine, and we can watch the kids just play. So, yeah, that's what you call getting old well.
Michael, going back to last Sunday night, what was your biggest takeaway from the Patriots-Seahawks shootout?
Dude, was that not a great game? Wait, speaking of that, we had some great games last week too.
Yeah.
You know, the Cowboys, the Chiefs, and that game right there that we're talking about right now. Oh my God. My biggest takeaway was this. Uh-oh. If Gam can do that too, then this can be something, cuz remember we talked about it. You know, Cam did a great job running the first week, but I knew he was going to have to open up and do more to stay with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks in the passing game, and he did that. And we also talked about N'Keal Harry and all of these guys coming alive because Cam gives them a second and third opportunity with his legs, and that kid came alive. And I'm like, oh, if we going to get this Cam every week, this is going to be off the chain. I was ready to take back my pick because, you know, I picked Buffalo to win the East because I didn't know what it was going to look like with Cam over there. And I was talking about, well, wait a minute, that was a little hasty right there. We need to revamp this right here because Cam was throwing the ball very well. That was my biggest takeaway from the game. If Cam can throw like this, then this is going to be something special.
Yeah, we all thought he could run it, Michael, but the way he's been slinging it has just been unbelievable. One of his greatest games yesterday, last Sunday night on the road, too, and getting stuff out of old man Edelman and everything is unbelievable. But we took a lot of positives away from an incredible game like that. People around here were describing it as an actual loss, but, you know, an emotional win. Yet some of the football players we've spoken to as the week has progressed have said, yeah, no, there's no such thing as an emotional win. Did you ever have any of those games where you actually lost, but you called them emotional wins?
Well, I don't really call them emotional wins, but I could call them, you know, I hate losing, but I can call it a loss where I learned something great, you know, where I got something out of it. And, you know, and that's something that you learn something great. You got something out of it. And that's why I always say, even when I deal with teams like Chargers or teams like Miami, well, teams like Miami more so the Chargers, because Chargers have a pretty good team. But like Miami, when I said, man, I don't want to just lose to lose. That's what you do with Ryan Fitzpatrick. So I want to stick in the young kid. So if I'm losing, at least I'm learning while I'm losing. I'm getting something that I'm going to use later that's going to benefit me later. Not just lose. At least I'm losing and learning. You know, you put in the young Tua kid, he's learning as he's losing. No, Ryan Fitzpatrick played pretty good last night as we did that game. But let me tell you what also stuck out when I watched that game, because they were talking about it. When they asked Cam, they said, Cam said, I didn't make the decision to come here And I love the statement. I just absolutely love it. He said, I didn't make the decision to come here thinking about replacing Tom Brady. I made the decision to come here thinking about playing for Bill Belichick. I was like, oh, yeah. Because that kind of structure, it's what's going to bring the best out of me. That kind of admiration for my head coach is what's going to bring the best out of me. You remember how he had a few run-ins with Coach Rivera here and there, you know, because he didn't have, and God bless Coach Rivera, he didn't have that kind of admiration and respect for him. And he you know, now Cam was a young guy. Now Cam's an older guy, a little older, and he has that guy. That's what will propel him. That's what will propel him. When I heard them talking about that, then I went back and said, oh, okay. Yeah, that's why he's throwing like this, too. That's why he is so dialed in and so focused because of the admiration and respect he has playing and the opportunity he has playing for Bill Belichick.
Talking with NFL Hall of Fame wide receiver, NFL Network analyst Michael Irvin. According to an article in The Ringer written by Kevin Clark, there are 884 players in the NFL who make more money than Cam Newton does this year. How did the rest of the league get this so wrong?
Because we buy in so many things that don't matter. We really do. Let's be real. You know, first of all, we'll talk about this is the quarterback position. And then we want to have quarterbacks molded after a certain way or acting a certain way, dressing a certain way, or even face of our franchise. So they want it to be a certain way. And Cam doesn't necessarily always fall into line with those things. So he does what Cam does, what Cam does, and he is who he is. But he's a great guy with that type of a personality, and we hold his personality against him because of the position that he plays. And, you know, you want the quarterback to be like a CEO of a company, but they definitely got it wrong. Now get this, too. I don't know that anyone else can get the Cam Newton that Bill Belichick and the Patriots have. You know, so I'm kind of swaying that a little bit. I just don't know that anyone else can get that Cam Newton but Bill Belichick.
There was a million injuries last week. Do you think that's a product of the abbreviated preseason and no preseason games, or is it just football and guys get hurt?
It's a little bit of both. I think there's definitely something to do with the ramp-up process that we went through, or the lack thereof ramp-up process that we went through. So, because the body works that way, and it's always the second week. You know, you can do all the work. You think you are preparing for a full game. You think you're preparing to play four quarters and exert your body that way. And you go into that first game, and everything's great. But the second game is always the game. The second game, because now your muscles are a little bit weaker, and you can't control your movements in games like you can control those exertions and movements in practice. So you get in a game, and it's just strictly reacting real quickly. And your body now is a little more tired, and then all the stress goes to the joints and the ligaments. And something gives, and that's why we run into the situation we ran into. It's so unfortunate with all the injuries we had and some of the guys. I mean, that changed some teams' season right there with those injuries. You see what New Orleans looked like without Michael Thomas. You know that thing is going to really put a damper on the San Francisco 49ers season when you lose Solomon Thomas and Nick Bosa. It was a sad day.
Yeah, that was a sad day indeed. The playmaker Michael Irvin with us here on Dale and Keefe on the Harbor One Hotline. So the Raiders are coming to town on Sunday to play the Patriots. Pats are a reasonably comfortable favorite in this one, but you know, some around here are thinking that the Raiders could really give them a game. John Gruden, extra motivated. He hasn't been back here since 2005, a famous game 18 and a half years ago. Lost that playoff game in the snow, got the Patriots double dynasty started. How much extra motivation do you think a football guy like John Gruden is carrying into a game like this, Michael? And do you think that could factor into the way the Raiders play in any way, shape, or form?
That's a great question. That's a great question, you know, because when I watched that game, Raiders the other night, Monday night against New Orleans, I saw something in that game, right? I saw Jacobs go up to Coach at the end of the game. Yeah, Coach, I told you we'll do it. We'll get it. And I think it sounded, of course, I couldn't hear what he's saying, but I was trying to read his lips. Sounded like he was sick. Told you we'll get this because they were opening up that new stadium. I almost picked the Raiders, too. I almost picked them because I knew Michael Thomas was not going to play right. And get these guys. I had a perfect day going, and I'm sitting there. I had a perfect day because we do picks, you know, so I had to pick everything. I wanted to go undefeated. Well, I don't think we ever had anybody have a perfect day on picks. The last pick, it came down to them Saints and the Raiders. And I was like, oh, my God, come on, Saints. I don't gamble, but I was like, I know what them gamblers feel like because I was sitting there. I wanted to go undefeated so bad. But I thought about it when I watched it, and I watched Josh Jacobs go up to Coach. I told you we're going to get. I said, oh, they really like playing for him. So that means they're going to pick up his battles. Because I'd imagine he talked about really wanting to win. This is historic. This is our first time in this stadium. This is our house, and nobody comes in our house. And, dog, they were running that football. I mean, they were running the football, and this is what New England has to be ready for. That big old fella, he comes downhill running that football hard. But if you can get that kind of play like you got out of Julian Edelman with Cam, then none of it'll matter. None of it'll matter.
Many times athletic teams are referred to as families, and we got an example of what family meant for the Patriots last Sunday night with the tragic news about James White's dad being killed in an automobile accident, his mom in critical condition. How does a team rally around a teammate, a popular teammate, and a captain in a situation like that?
Football's a hard game, and what you do when you play a game is hard. You try to find things to get you past those moments. And no doubt that's exactly how people or how ball players, like when you're going or you're down, say, let's go, man. This for J-Dub. This for James. We got to get this done. Let's get this done. You know, that pulls you through. And that's your way. And that's how we try to deal with it. We'll give of ourselves, you know, in that manner. I'll you go by and say, man, we're going to get it for you. We good. We with you. You know, whatever you need, we're here. And you try to make sure you give them all you got. But guys, that's so sad. It's so sad. When we heard it, we talked. I was prayed for him. You know, your heart just goes out. Your heart just goes out to him. Your mom in critical condition. You lose your father. It's just sad. It's sad all the way around.
Yep, life is too short not to appreciate every moment we got, or to make sure when you're talking to Michael Irvin, you pass up the chance to ask him about his Cowboys. Michael, last Sunday, Dallas may have seriously found a way to win that I don't think would have been possible in any other capacity unless they were playing the Falcons, who are spectacular at blowing late-game leads. And now Sunday, they play the same Seahawks you just watched the Patriots go toe-to-toe with. I'm thinking that about maybe 100 points might be scored Sunday when the Cowboys and the Seagulls play. The Seahawks.
Might as well be.
Might as well be at that point. I just want to know how you felt watching that one last Sunday and how you feel heading into Russell Wilson versus Dak.
Well, I tweeted last Sunday. I tweeted during the game that, you know, first I tweeted, what is this mess on my TV? Because the Cowboys just kept turning the ball over. I was like, what is this? Who is this? What is this mess on my TV? And then as the game went on, I tweeted, I was writing my eulogy. I was on the last paragraph. And then finally, America's team showed up and pulled me out the grave. That's what they did. They pulled me out the grave. And oh, hallelujah, I'm alive, and we won that game. It was insane, dude. That was incredible. And this is what I said was insane. It wasn't just a comeback, 20 down, and you mount the comeback, and you get the win. It was 20 down, you mount a comeback, and then that offense, they have an explosive offense. They scored some more. So you got to mount another comeback, and then that offense scored. So you had to mount another comeback, and then you had to win it with the last second impossible onside kick with a kick that I have never seen before in my life. You know how much football I have watched in my life? I have never seen anybody kick that little thing, and it does that right there. And all of those guys had what I call a Leon Lett moment. Let it go. 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 You know, instead of jumping on the ball. So it was insane. But the Cowboys, first of all, honestly, I didn't know they had that in them. I'm not going to lie. I didn't know they had that kind of fight to come back and to keep coming back and to keep coming back. So I have to attribute that to maybe what they have as a new head coach. I've never seen them do that before. I've never seen them do that before. But also moving forward, that's the kind of thing that you can use the rest of the year. You know, remember, no matter what the score is on the scoreboard, if anybody has anything in them, they should be walking up and down the sideline and say, hey, we've been here before. We've been here before. We can do it again. Let's go. Let's go. And so it gives you that hope. And I always tell you guys, hope will dictate effort. You got little hope, I got little effort. You got great hope, you'll give great effort. So it gives them that hope, which shall bring out effort. You think Denver right now, who's down 3-1 to the Lakers, what do you think they're saying? We've been here before. We can get this done, because they did it with Utah, down 3-1. They did it with the Clippers, down 3-1. Now they still have hope. Most teams will be saying this series is over, and it'll affect their effort in the next game, but not Denver, because they'll have hope. I do believe the Lakers will win, but they got to go take it. Denver won't give it to them because they've been there before. That's why the Cowboys winning that way was a great way for them to win.
We always appreciate talking about football and life with Michael Irvin, the playmaker from the NFL Network. Thank you very much. Congratulations again on the birth of your new granddaughter.
Yeah, as life comes, so sometimes life leaves. Let's make sure we keep praying for James White, guys. God bless, guys.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank
you, Michael.